tonight. Sorry, the video was lagging. We're having all sorts of technical problems already. Where we're going, we don't need roads, although I'm not sure why you're going to Hollywood Studios anyway. Cornak the Magnificent is appearing in person for a rare video appearance, so ladies, try not to faint. And guys, you could stop watching Shanghai ride videos. That'd be the polite thing to do. The writer of the animatronicans is here. Maybe he can teach Nick how to act.
Oh,
probably not. You've read WW News Today. Now you'll experience WW News Tonight. Yay! Technical difficulties.
See, it didn't seem any point.
I didn't because I was trying to get my screen up and the chat's not working.
Video.
You also told me 40 seconds and then said 10 directly after that. What happened with that?
Video's a dying medium. It's all about.
It's a fad. I've staged 50 musical comedies and I'll stage 50 more. Anyway.
Who are you? And who am I not?
I'm Tom Corliss and you're not. You're Nicholas Cicero, I believe.
Sounds good.
Maybe. Yeah.
Lot to get to tonight. We have a great guest in the studio.
Yes, which that never happens. Josh is the only other person we've ever had in studio, so kind of exciting.
That is correct. But yeah. We have Jeff Jones from the Animatronicans. Got it right in the first try.
Yes, you got it right.
Take that, Cooper Creek.
Yeah, Nick is really bad with names, so he's going to get it wrong at some point. I'm just warning you.
I'm sure there's a betting line.
He gets the name of the show wrong. Yeah. This show wrong.
I'm positive there's a betting line out there between our listeners, how many times I will get it wrong.
You know, there are demands for a Cooper Creep shirt. Right? People requested. He couldn't say Copper Creek last week. Koopa Creep.
We're going to have to do that. And you know where we'll make that available? TeePublic.
We will, which is the company that brings you the news. So let's get to the news.
Let's get right
to
we'll
plug that. How about that? Okay with you?
Yeah, that's a good plan. I'm excited.
This broke today with the demolition beginning in earnest at Hollywood Studios for Star Wars Land. Plans are now underway to replace the World Drive vehicle entrance of Hollywood Studios with an entirely new entrance guests can utilize. That'll be off of Osceola Parkway. That's right. Closing attractions and lands wasn't enough. So now the roads have to go to. According to permits filed with the South Florida Water Management District, the intersection between Wide World of Sports and Art of Animation is going to be where you catch that ramp that's going to take you right into Hollywood Studios.
Nice.
And sections of Osceola are also going to be expanded for the traffic that's expected. And no word yet on if that tiny little entrance on Buena Vista Drive will continue to exist or not, but we will have to wait and see.
About time.
Hope they keep that one because I never go through the World Drive one anyway, and I don't really want to go down to Osceola either. But
no,
I understand why they're moving it.
They have to, yeah. It backs up; it gets crazy there.
But also, Star Wars, I think, is gonna go over that road.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
they're gonna fill the space to the. There's like a little river back there, so they're going to try and fill all that space.
All right.
But also, if that wasn't enough exciting roadwork news for
it's
you
not.
This week.
I want more.
Permits were also filed to change the roadways by the Magic Kingdom vehicle entrance area. And that plan would see the addition of roads that will go over the Toll Plaza area in both directions, north and south, bypassing them for easier access to and from the Magic Kingdom Area Resort Hotel. So you don't have to lie to an additional set of cast members about your fake reservation at the Contemporary. Yeah, there Jason has the illustration up. It's a gorgeous illustration.
It is.
You could see many hours were spent.
Look at that.
In Microsoft Paint.
Is the Speedway still there?
It's still there in the art. I mean, in real life, it obviously is
right.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the new road returning guests to World Drive going south would also help alleviate the Seven Seas Drive traffic and provide better traffic flow for some area cast members going home in the evening.
Microsoft Paint.
What happened? Microsoft, you're now laughing about Microsoft Paint. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to alleviate some of that traffic on Seven Seas Drive so you won't accidentally hit a cast member crossing the street by the Polynesian.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Traffic on Vista Boulevard will also have easier access to World Drive in both directions. Roadwork to alleviate traffic behind the park, of course, is already happening back there in the cast member areas. That's expected to be completed by the summer, end of the summer, and, of course, still before the opening of Pandora, the World of Avatar.
Avatar joke of the week.
Probably before Rivers of Light, for that matter.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see. True.
No word yet on when construction is going to begin on all that, but expected to be the beginning of many changes for the Magic Kingdom vehicle entry plaza area, which kind of needs to be fixed at this point. This is exciting. Next Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday's a big day at Disney Springs. The town center area is finally going to open, along with the first phase of new restaurants and stores.
We're going to be
the summer.
So fat and drunk at the end of Sunday.
I think we're going to be fat and drunk before Sunday begins, but that's besides the point. Among the new offerings, there's Deluxe Burger, where you can grab a classic cheeseburger or go for something indulgent like the El Diablo Burger, which, of course, has Bob Iger's face burned into the bun.
Jeez.
There's a veggie burger, too, plus gelato shakes, fresh-cut fries, and more from the Disney chefs, who will also be out every 3 seconds to talk to someone with an allergy. You'll be able to tell them what a good job they did when they come out.
Yeah.
There's Amaret's Patisserie, which has classic and contemporary cakes and pastries, which are the stars at this high-end pastry shop. Of course, there's classic macaroons and crisps, light pavlova, ultimate chocolate chunk cookie, and more. And Amaret's is a dessert lover's dream come true and a diabetic's worst nightmare.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Then
wow.
What just happened? All right.
Surge.
Wow.
Got some lights in here.
All right. Then there's the Daily Poutine, which I must tell you, I was surprised to find out is not an establishment on OBP. This kiosk brings...
It may be.
Probably. Oh, no. Brings a Canadian classic to guests in four varieties. There's four varieties of hot, crispy French fries. There's classic, which is beef gravy with cheddar cheese. Latin has fried yuca, black beans, pulled pork, and queso. There's the Italian, which has mozzarella and bolognese sauce. And then the French with a snotty attitude. I mean, mushroom cream sauce with Gruyere cheese.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah. And you could pair that, of course, with a lemonade, draft beer, sangria, or fountain sodas. And interesting note, they're advertising fountain soda.
Yeah,
I'm not sure anyone's ever advertised. It's like a big selling.
It's a big deal. That's a big deal.
What is it, 1955? Like, we have Pepsi. It's unbelievable.
Glass bottles.
Yeah. There's B.B. Wolf Sausage Company, a kiosk with artisan sausages. Just go with it. The Three Little Pigs has a Reuben dog, a Portuguese sausage, and a sweet hot sausage. Nick, shut up. A Bavarian sausage sandwich and an Italian veggie sausage are also on the menu. Then there's, I haven't even heard about this one until this week, Yay Sake. This kiosk, you could try a Sake Cosmo Freeze, a Sake Bourbon Slush, among other offerings.
I picture a little anime character outside. Yay, Sake!
Okay.
Trying to bring you in.
The global eats at the booth range from the Great Wall, which is Chinese-style pulled pork, to a sombrero, which is ground beef, pico de gallo, guacamole, cheese, and corn chips. I guess this booth is more confused about what country it's in than the Southern guest in World Showcase. I butchered that joke. Move on.
It's okay.
Nope, that's not what it said in the script. I'm going to keep it going.
We know what you meant.
Yeah.
It's the spirit of the joke.
It's all downhill from here.
There's also
Morimoto Asia Street Food, which is a new walk-up menu, which is going to offer sushi, rice bowls, bao tacos, snacks such as octopus, Morimoto sticky ribs, curry rice croquettes, pork egg rolls, and much, much more. Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
I don't have a joke for that. It's real. Morimoto's good. I'm not going to make fun of it.
This is amazing. Where do we start?
I'm not done yet.
Oh.
We still have sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
Look for handcrafted cupcakes, slow-churned ice cream, homemade cookies at Sprinkles, dubbed the first cupcake bakery by the Food Network, and the third easiest name to give a cat by everyone else. one and two, of course, are socks and mittens in that order.
Yes.
Options include vegan, gluten-free, and sugar-free, and seasonal flavors as well.
Cats.
Moving to new spots, you have Wetzel's Pretzels and Haagen-Dazs, which will now be located across from Orlando Harley-Davidson on the west side. Because, as you know, bikers love pretzel sundae.
They do. Yeah. They love them. They're easy to eat on a bike.
Yeah. There'll be some new retailers as well. There's the Savannah Bee Company, which will feature a variety of special and everyday honey, as well as all-natural body care products.
Yeah.
Ranging from body wash and lotion to lip balm and body butter.
Slather me up.
Yeah, the company's mission is to provide pure, delicious honey and luxurious, luxurious honeybee products to consumers while educating them about the wonders of the hive.
Yeah.
Is this an Epcot pavilion about honey? What is this? Okay, how long before this closes and becomes a Winnie the Pooh meet and greet? I was going to ask now. There's also Filthy Rich, which is not to be confused with anyone going to Disney After Hours, which will showcase celebrity-inspired jewelry at far less than Beverly Hills prices. The location specializes in authentic replicas of iconic jewelry and accessories worn by past legends of the silver screen and current celebrity icons, you know, like Madonna.
Is that real? Is Madonna sponsored?
No, I have that. That's
a joke?
It's a joke. Didn't you see that? She wore some ridiculous outfit to some show,
she?
And she's being
she
talked
does.
About again.
I don't know if she's an icon anymore.
That was the joke.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got it.
Thanks. If you have to explain it, it's not funny.
Apparently not. Come on, I laughed at like 80% of these.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. STK Orlando.
Yes.
It's going to open for sure on May 25th. Reservations are open beginning that date already. The new STK will be located within the waterfront setting of the landing at Disney Springs. STK's unique ambiance blends the elements of a modern steakhouse with a sleek lounge, including a DJ, emphasizing a social fun environment, of course, filled with hashtags trending and millennials. At approximately 14,000 square feet, the Orlando Outpost will be one of the largest STK locations and has two dining floors, including a main level and the only rooftop dining venue in Disney Springs. STK, hold on a second. I'd like to remind you, STK, that you are not the only rooftop lounge coming. Of course, let us not forget our dear friend, the Paddlefish. Which will have rooftop dining as well.
I couldn't find the sound a Paddlefish makes.
I don't think they make sound. They don't have teeth.
Yeah, I was looking. I was trying for you,
don't have sound either.
I just found splashing in water.
Okay.
I don't think they talk.
It's all right. We'll live.
But it's a boat, by the way. It's not really a rooftop. You don't have a roof on a boat.
Does it count as a boat top?
Well, you have topside. Topside? Well, it's not a roof.
It's not a real boat, right? You're aware of this.
That's debatable. It's in water. It has a paddle.
There's a picture of a paddlefish again.
That saves us all.
I can't wait till we get hit by the guy that took this photo of a paddlefish that he wants like a dollar every time we use it or something. It's going to happen. So reservations for STK and not paddlefish can be made at 407-917-7440. Eventually also online at stkhouse.com. That's not working yet. Apparently, the people behind My Disney Experience working on that one. So. Celebrate the Season, the long-running Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom stage show that's been entertaining guests at the Magic Kingdom, is going away. The show actually began at Top of the World at the Contemporary back in the early 1990s, so before everyone working at STK was born, probably. Disney this week announced the retirement of the show and a brand new show debuting this year. It's called Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, where you could feel holiday magic come alive in a jubilant new stage show. It's just days before Christmas, and all through this house, excitement is stirring thanks to Mickey.
That's amazing.
Mickey is thrilled that the holidays are here, and he knows that the only way to make this season more special is to share it with friends, preferably friends who spent $95 a ticket. So he's throwing a most merriest celebration and inviting lots of Disney pals and you to join. Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and Pluto are dropping by dressed in their Christmas best. There will also be Peter Pan, Alice and the White Rabbit, the Toy Story Gang, plus Snow White, Dopey, Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket, and many more surprise guests stopping by. The surprise is whoever doesn't get cut budgetarily. Thanks, Shanghai. Had to pay for that pirate ride, man. It's expensive.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. The joyous performance is the perfect Yuletide treat to share with your family. You'll hear favorite characters ring and sing in the holiday with more than a dozen delightful songs in all, 8 of them from Frozen. You'll witness the splendor of Cinderella Castle aglow with enchanting and ever-changing holiday illuminations, which may or may not be the name of a show at another park. And you'll feel the warmth and wonder of the season as this unforgettable performance is Christmas wrapped up in a sensational snowy show-stopping finale.
Excellent.
And that's the news, Nick. Nick, who brings us the news every week?
Well, it's brought to you, Tom, by TeePublic. Don't forget to shop apparel accessories for Disney fans through WDWNT.com and TeePublic. Just head over to WDWNT.com. Click on the TeePublic link right there. You can shop for hundreds of designs for T-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including the exclusive WDW News Today logo apparel that Tom's holding up right now and the original creation. Yep, such as the Hollywood Studios Hard Hats, that's the March Tragic team shirt, or the latest release, the California Bears, celebrating the Country Bear Jamboree Vacation Hoedown. Make the most of tonight's commercial breaks and head to WDWNT.com and start by shopping by clicking on the TeePublic link. TeePublic, an official
partner
of WDW News Tonight, Tom. Yeah. That is.
It so is. I'm angry, so let's...
Oh, yeah.
Let's get on.
I think we're both a little angry tonight, Tom.
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
It's a damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy. It's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like Jane.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was dead.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Nick, I know you're angry about a ton of things, so why don't you...
I'm whittling it down to two, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, Disney Infinity is no more.
Yes.
Disney decided to shutter their video game division yesterday.
Well, there wasn't much left. It was pretty much just Infinity.
It really was. I guess they're going forward with mobile gaming, but the video gaming side of things is gone. That means Disney Infinity has found its end, and it is done. And you know I go on and on about Disney Infinity. I was just so proud that I had one of my toy boxes chosen. I was featured, Tom.
You're famous.
And now it is going to be no more as of, I think, the end of June, something like that. I don't even know how long they'll do online support. Who knows? But it's been one of my favorite video games for the past 2.5 years.
They haven't announced when they're ending online support yet.
No, I don't think so.
I imagine they still got to keep it going for a while. They're like contractually obligated, I think, to do at least a year or something.
I would think so. It's good and bad. I mean, I'm really upset because it is one of my favorite games to kind of play each and every week. But I can now move on to other games. I now have time for more Star Fox Zero and such. So that's that.
Yeah.
But I'm also mad about something else, Tom. And Tom, I have no one else to blame but me. We've been talking about this for years. Tom and I finally went out and played some mini golf this past weekend. We did the Fairways course over at Fantasia Mini Golf there at Walt Disney World. And Tom and I went out there, and it was very casual to start off with. You know, we were hitting, we were doing good. Tom was off to a nice little lead, so I was just like, all right, whatever. Then all of a sudden, I started catching up to Tom. He had a few bad holes. I caught up to Tom, and we started adding up the score and seeing who was where. And for the last few holes, we were keeping track because we were tied. And then all of a sudden, Tom imploded. I had a couple of twos, and I had this humongous, what did I have, a three-stroke lead.
At the highest, it was a three-stroke
three-stroke lead going into the last two holes.
Yeah.
I lost a stroke on the 17th. Going into the 18th, I was up by two. I hit my first shot right onto the green. All I had to do was
all I said was you
got to
put it in two putts.
In two putts. Tom made this miraculous, like, off-green two.
It was a really long and amazing putt, I have to admit. It was pretty good.
And then, Nick, I choked.
You did.
I choked.
The last putt, wasn't it, like, that close?
It was, like, that close, and it went, whew, 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 gone out. Not even there. We tied.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose. We tied. That means
we have to have a rematch
and go out there again. But I choked, Tom. I was so furious because you were getting so cocky there when you were ahead. And I was like, I can't wait to beat him. And it didn't happen.
And then you choked.
I would have been a humble victor, too, Tom.
No,
unlike you.
No, you wouldn't. Get out of here.
Humble victor.
No. No way. I don't know what I'm angry about. I guess I'm angry about things.
Well, I had two angry things, so you don't have anything.
I don't know. I'm angry. I'm angry that I haven't seen Roaring Rapids video from Shanghai yet. I want to see that Crocosaur, whatever the hell that thing is called.
Yeah.
I really want to see that. But obviously, we've seen Pirates and Soarin', and unfortunately, the Alice Maze. And Some other stuff that I'm impressed so far. I like what I'm seeing.
Does that mean it's not open yet, or
it's
just
not.
No video?
I mean, they're still in previews. This is just previews. Yeah. I mean, Buzz Lightyear isn't open yet either. So not everything is running yet, but that seems to be the only thing that's the thing I'm most excited about. I want to see that animatronic very badly.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of animatronic
excellence,
we have Jeff Jones from he's the writer of the play coming to the Orlando Fringe Festival, the Animatronicans. We're going to talk to him when we return here on WDW News tonight. By the way, coming up in the second hour, WDWNT, the math game.
Oh boy.
The math game.
By unpopular.
You know what? People liked it. For some reason, people liked
it. We're
going to
make you do math if you want prizes.
Prizes from Theme Park Connection. Yep. So we'll do that in the second hour. We also will continue our dining discussion in the second hour as well.
And Cornac.
Cornac
the Magnificent dropping by second hour as well.
So much more to come here on WDW News tonight.
As a single Disney fan can be tough. No one wants to eat at Be Our Guest alone. And who wants to always ride single rider? That's why we here at WWNT made a brand new dating app just for Disney fans. It's called Fast X Plus. We've had top scientists work on our algorithm. Their recipe for a perfect match is simple. If it moves and it's near you in a Disney theme park, it will show up on your feed. Rest assured that Fast X Plus is working hard to pair you with your mutual attractions. Get it? Attractions. All you need to do is swipe left and right. It's so easy, even Tom Corliss is a frequent user.
Frozen shirt, left, she's wearing Harry Potter robe. Ooh, Horizon's hat. All right, that's a right. Favorite attraction is flying carpets. Left. She likes Everest in its current state. Ugh, left. I didn't know you could do that with a churro. Right indeed.
Once you've met your match, you simply rate the attraction in terms of A, B, C, D, or marriage material, E-ticket. Based on such factors as thrill, fun for the whole family, and of course, re-rideability. Ladies, don't settle for any LaFools while looking for your Gaston. Download Fast X Plus today.
Seriously? Your profile picture has a shirt with a turkey leg stain on it? Left. Bald. 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 Fat. Bald. Fat. Fat and bald. Oh, he's at the Frozen sing-along right now. For the first time in forever, I'm swiping right.
Fast X Plus moves you to the front of the queue of the Disney dating field. Make your rainbow connection today, because everyone is someone's e-ticket.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Welcome back to WDW News tonight, and we have a special guest with us tonight on the show. His name is Jeff Jones, and he is the writer of The Animatronicans, a new play coming to the Fringe Festival next week. Fringe Festival being the annual arts festival, performing arts and everything that comes to Orlando each and every year, and he'll be able to talk to us a little bit more about that. But Jeff, first of all, did you ever play the Fairways course at Fantasia Gardens?
I believe years ago I have. I haven't played any of the Disney courses in a while. I am partial to Winter Summerland.
Yeah, you like the normal, you know, hit the ball through the little windmill type things.
I like Christmas.
Yeah.
And I put like Griswold House up at Christmas time. So if I can go in April and have Christmas music and nice decorations, yeah, I'm happy.
I do prefer Winter Summerland as a mini golf course to the Fantasia.
You know what I'm angry golf course about, though?
What's that?
They dumbed down the fairways course.
They did.
The sand traps are gone.
It's fake sand.
There's no sand traps, and they covered any water, so there's no hazards anymore.
It's brown astroturf.
So it's not even fairways anymore.
Well, then you need to go to iDrive and play, you know, the ghetto courses if you want to.
And then hit cars on iDrive.
Exactly. Exactly. There's like seven holes in the fairway. You don't know which one you're actually going into.
I like the Pirate Cove that overlooks the Cerro Lago. And you could actually hit ball off the tallest hole. You could hit balls into the resort, actually. But anyway.
So Jeff, a friend of mine brought this to my attention. He's big into the theater scene here in Orlando, and he showed me this. He sent me a text, and he didn't even have to say anything. It was a text of this poster, the one that Tom was holding up, had John from Carousel of Progress, Polar Bear from Maelstrom, Abe Lincoln in the Dreamfinder, and I was like, yes, we're going to that. And I immediately contacted you, Jeff. This sounds like a really, really, really fun thing for Disney fans. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the animatronics and what it, I knew I'd get it wrong.
You got it wrong.
Animatronicans. And where did this idea come from?
Well, my two favorite things in the world are theme parks, especially Disney, and bad 70s, 80s sitcoms.
Oh, yeah.
So I figured, why not combine the two? So we basically took those four characters and imagined what it would be like if after work they all lived in the same house in Windermere.
This is getting better.
Like how it's specifically Windermere.
It is specifically in Windermere. Well, you got to live closer. You got to live closer to work, really. Because it makes the commute easy. And
just living together. They live together in Windermere.
Windermere.
All right.
Well, it makes more sense than Winter Park. I mean, that commute would be rough.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Dreamfinder's dressed like someone in Winter Park. Right?
Exactly.
Anyway.
First, I know there's some things you don't want to reveal here, but my first question is, are they animatronics or are they organic creatures?
Oh, no, they're robots. We're playing it as if they are mechanical. Just unplug for the night, walk stiff-legged home, and prop your feet up and watch television. It's really what it is.
That's amazing.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever written. I've written about six shows for The Fringe, but this one's just really stupid. I mean, it's just silly fun, and I love the concept of bad sitcoms. I'm like, how could that be funnier? I mean, you take the models that they use, and I mean, like in that era of sitcoms of the 70s, the Three's Companies, the Golden Girls, they all had the same like premise. It's like, oh, there's a mistaken identity or something like that, where wacky hijinks ensue after something's going wrong or a misunderstanding of some sort. And like, well, what could make this even more ridiculous is, oh, we have four robots, two who are rather bitterly unemployed, living with two that are kind of old has-beens, so it's comedy. God. It's comedy, just unlimited, and that's
so it takes place in modern day. So the Polar Bear and Dreamfinder are unemployed.
Yes,
okay,
and one of them's much more bitter about it than the other one.
Okay.
So. The polar bears.
Do we find out how long they've been living together for?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We set the whole thing up. It's very educational. There's a lot of research that went into this silly little piece of fluff.
So where did this come from? Were you just sitting around one day thinking, like, imagine if these guys walked around outside the parks when we weren't looking?
No, it's a friend of mine who's actually in the show, Josh Siniscalco, who is playing Abraham Lincoln, played Lincoln in another Fringe show where he did like their pre-show announcement as an animatronic Lincoln, and he nailed it so ridiculously funny that everybody remembers that. So I was talking to Josh one day, and I was like, well, what if an idea if we do more of these characters all in the same scenario? So we kind of went around and what iconic ones can we pick, and then one random bizarre polar bear that is in a ride for like 30 seconds that nobody even would remember was there, and put them all in the same scenario, and what would make it ridiculous is, okay, it's a sitcom instead.
Oh, you're talking to the audience that remembers it.
See,
was
I was
going
to say the polar bear, to me, is ingenious, because I think more so even than the three-headed troll, I hear people say, well, I hope the polar bear's in Frozen Ever After. For the polar bear.
So does the polar bear.
Trust me,
he really wishes he's going to be there, but he's not. I hope he's not, because then the show is pointless.
hopefully the run concludes before the opening of Frozen Ever
After. We all know that they skin the polar bear and put the marshmallow fur over the top of him, because that's how Disney does it.
Yeah.
So,
what happened to, what was that, Big Al became Oogie Boogie at Disneyland.
So you are the Dreamfinder.
I am playing the Dreamfinder. That was actually one of my favorite attractions before someone let an a horrible person come in and change that attraction.
So was the Dreamfinder out of like a need that you wanted to play the Dreamfinder, so he was going to be in this?
I just think it's a fun character. I mean, him and Figment were the icons of Epcot for 20 years, and then they were just yanked out. And I think they took part of the soul out of Epcot when they changed that attraction around a little bit. And but I just loved that ride. I remember going on it as many times as I could. And then that first time, once they reopened after being closed, it's like, oh, my God, what did they do to this thing? And I still say that whenever I ride it now. But it's like, I loved that ride. And that's just, I imagine, what would he do if he now has access to the internet and Tinder? And we'll see what's going on in his mind now.
Stop
so,
it.
I kind of took the four of them, and in a way, some of them kind of line up to a Golden Girls character in a way to get that four people living in a house scenario going. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say which ones line up to which character, but they do kind of mirror that scenario when we're putting them with what their actual personalities are.
Is the redhead from Pirates on Tinder?
She should be. Because the Dreamfinder's always looking for some dates. So he's always out there looking.
So. All right, so we know
some childhoods are going to get destroyed.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when I said, you know, my friend showed this to me, and I was like, yeah, we need to go to this. We're going, and I'm going to talk to Jeff about coming on the show. And he was like, you do know that a lot of this is probably going to be poking fun at Disney. And I was like, you know what? Looking at this poster, I have to think that, like, there was a lot of love of Disney put into this, too. And talking to you, it seems like you have that, and a lot of love and detail went into this.
It's more love for Disney. I mean, there's not a lot of poking fun at Disney itself. It's poking fun of the situation of a sitcom.
Yeah.
It's more of that, and these are just happen to be characters. There are some references, of course, with everything Frozen. I mean, we can't do a show without doing that, and that's the only reason the polar bear's there, just because he's got to be bitter about something, and Anna and Elsa are in the way. But it's really a tribute to Disney, I think. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's not just Disney. I'm going to say it right now, all theme parks are not safe in this. Mm. So there's a lot of animatronic characters from other theme parks that are no longer employed either. So they might be some
cameos. So there are more animatronics than before?
There's some cameos.
Oh,
Yeah, there's some other cameos that might be in there, and some other Easter eggs hidden for true Disney and theme park fans.
Oh, that sounds fun. You don't want to reveal any of the cameos?
No.
Can't get you. How did John from Carousel of Progress make the cut? He's kind of the last one we didn't talk about there.
Oh, I think that's one of my favorite attractions at the Magic Kingdom. It's people make fun of it, and people joke about it. It's one of the things I do every time I'm there. And I'm waiting for the day that I get to go in there with just my friends, so we can have our Mystery Science Theater 3000 version of the Carousel of Progress. Because there's so many jokes that you make during that, and everybody has them that they say them to their head, or they lean over to somebody next to them and make a joke about things that are said in that. But it's just, to me, it's amazing that ride, that show, has been around for almost like 52, 53 years. Pretty much mostly unchanged for the most part. I mean, they've changed a few things around. They've changed the songs, and they changed some of the story, but for the most part, it's
slightly
the same
less
stuff.
Sexist.
It is slightly
some things
less
like
sexist.
That. Yeah. The early version is there's a couple lines here and there where you realize, all right, women's rights kicked in the second redo of the ride.
But there's still some things that make absolutely no sense to me. And it's like there's the wallpaper thing where she's hanging wallpaper, and he made a paint mixer for her. What is she painting? She's hanging wallpaper.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or the young girl that vanishes. That's only in the first scene.
Their third daughter. Their third daughter who dies of scurvy or something at the turn of the century.
Probably dysentery based on the time. Or she got hit by a newfangled trolley. One of those things.
I miss that girl. What happens to her?
She never grows up.
She doesn't.
Now, is Abe Lincoln, is he aware that there was a real Abe Lincoln and he's modeled after him?
Oh, yeah, they know exactly. Yeah. They know what they are. They're aware of it. And, I mean, Lincoln has conversations about the people he works with. I mean, he works with 43 guys all day long, and he's a little bitter about some of them as well. I mean, you know, they have potlucks at the Hall of Presidents every now and then, and some people don't bring stuff that they're supposed to. So,
that's amazing. That's good stuff.
And we got plenty of people out there in chat. If you have any questions about the show, go ahead, shoot them at us. We would be happy to ask. So someone tuned in late and is feeling very lost. Should we mention again?
Oh, totally. Yeah, this is Jeff Jones. He is the writer of the Animatronicans.
You got it right.
Yeah. I think I'm 3 for 4. This is part of the Orlando Fringe Festival, which kicks off next week, and people in Orlando, for the most part, are familiar, I think, with the Fringe Festival. Every year, it's a couple weeks this year, a week and a half maybe.
It's ten days, about 11 days actually.
Yeah,
if it adds on actually, but this is the 25th anniversary of the Orlando Fringe.
Oh, that's right, big year. Yeah,
it's the longest running Fringe Festival in the United States.
Yeah, it's a great arts festival. Always a lot going on, and your show, Jeff, kicks off on Wednesday the 18th, a week from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
At 10:30 p.m. is the first performance, and there's various performances through May 29th. To go to this, some people aren't completely aware of the whole mechanics of going to these things. So you have to buy a fringe button.
I'm completely lost. So please explain.
Right, you have to buy a fringe button first of all.
You buy a fringe button, and that gets you. That money goes to the festival itself.
Okay.
What's cool about the Orlando Festival is it's not a juried festival. People from all over the world apply to get in, and it's done by a lottery. They draw names out of a hat and assign you to what venues you are and in. It's in Lock Haven Park. There's about 8 or 9 venues this year in that area.
Wow.
So every hour, every half hour, there's another show starting. On weeknights, they start at like 5, 6 p.m. On the weekends, they start at 10:30, 11 a.m. and go all night long. Last show could be at 1 a.m. And show ticket prices range from $5 to $10, $11, depending on the show. But you can literally go out there and see at least 100, 120 shows and performances going on within that time frame. And in the middle, there's a beer garden, food trucks, food tents. Not just beer. There's actually full liquor now, too. But you hang out between shows, you talk to other people, see what's good, what's bad. You can see amazing stuff, you can see absolutely horrible stuff, and
yeah,
that's
varies.
Half the fun.
I mean,
it varies. So it's a lot of fun, and on the weekends they do a kids fringe, so people can bring their kids out as well.
Cool.
So it's family thing as well. But there's a lot of shows that are designed for families. There's a lot of shows designed for kids. But then there's a lot of shows that are designed just for adults.
And this one is for mature audiences.
Yes. I mean, we do use some language because, like I said, bitter animatronics. But it's mostly a language thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I believe the way it works, right, you just have to buy one fringe button. That works the whole festival, right?
That covers you for the festival, but each individual show you need to buy a ticket.
Right.
So, yeah.
And the tickets for your show are
$11. They're $11.
And you can buy them in advance. I know, and I do recommend you do that if it's a show you really want to go to.
Yeah, they do sell out, especially on the second weekend. Once people start talking about what shows are good, and then everybody seems to go on Memorial Day weekend, which is the last weekend, all shows start selling out. So,
yeah.
You know, some of the venues are as small as 50 seats. So, I mean, you really do need to buy tickets in advance because people do get turned away. And the thing is, if you've never been to Fringe, this is the most important thing. If you have a ticket, you have to be on time. Because once the show starts at their actual time, the doors shut and nobody else gets in.
Yep, that is important. So OrlandoFringe.com, .org. Do not go to OrlandoFringe.com. I made that mistake. There are anime characters and Chinese
are
writing.
Are they selling Mexican and Japanese food?
Yasaki!
What's the correct? Give people the correct URL again.
It's OrlandoFringe.org.
Okay.
Make sure you do .org. It's scary stuff over there. .com.
You know how many people in our chat now went to .com.
They're like,
I gotta see this.
I'm going there right now. What are you talking about?
He's on his phone right now.
I'm gonna pull it out to see.
Of course they are.
I think. Can I just say something? I think it's fantastic that this is mature content. Because we kind of do a little – this show obviously is a little more PG because we're on the radio. But I've kind of at times tried to do more mature stuff because they're adult Disney fans. And I appreciate the fact – because everybody's so plain and vanilla and wholesome.
No.
You know, there are adults with senses of humor that like Disney. And I appreciate – and I'm coming to see them.
Well, look at how upset everybody got when Disney passed the policy that nobody over 14 was going to be allowed to dress up in costumes for the special events. They backtrack on that since, but when you go to, like, Not So Scary, there's more adults there dressed in costumes as adults just hanging out than there are kids dressed in costumes. So there's a definitely an over 18 Disney fanatic that's out there.
But I love that this is raunchy humor for you know, people who love theme parks.
Yeah, it's what they would actually be like if they were real people living outside of the park.
Living in Windermere.
Yeah, living in Windermere. They're not a snooty.
Do they live
not
in a specific one. Development in Windermere?
No, they don't. Okay. Not near Tiger Woods or anything. Like that.
At least they're not on Vista Way. I mean, it could be worse.
Well, nobody wants to be there.
Does Dreamfender get a nice pension or anything from Disney?
He does.
Good.
He actually does because they still use him. they rent his dragon from him, so he's got to pay him.
So does Figment live there with them?
No, he still works.
Okay.
Yeah, Figment still works.
Oh, he still works.
Where does he go at night, though? He has to have a home, no?
They might have a cage for him. I don't know.
Okay.
I only thought about the parts I'm caring about for the show.
Okay.
I'm not writing a whole backstory here. Come on.
Come on. I'm sure there is.
There has to be some backstory.
Yeah. There's a prequel already in the works, probably.
Yes.
Movie rights.
All right. So who didn't make the cut? Is there, like, did you settle on these four pretty easily, or were there ones you struggled to kind of get into this foursome here?
No, I think these four were pretty good for me, because I think they're fairly iconic, and a lot of people ask me, why the polar bear? I'm like, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Because it sets up, and I had to think which ones could work for making jokes. And Lincoln, I already knew the person to do that, so it worked. And then John's just been around forever, and he's seen a lot of things, and he can talk about, you know, 100 years of technology, but he seems to always like to talk about appliances. So, really loves refrigerators. Really loves them.
This is going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's not as much. That carousel is not as. It was obvious it was to pitch appliances when it was sponsored by GE, mm-hmm. but now that it doesn't have a sponsor, it's just, gosh, this guy talks about appliances a lot.
and you need the polar bear. I mean, you needed like this other thing in there, whether it be something from Small World or this, you know, like
know,
it had
polar,
to be.
When I saw
had
this,
to be something.
I didn't think, there's one of these that's really out of place. I don't know.
No,
but
I didn't
again,
either.
It might be our exposure to this fan community that the polar bear didn't seem to the average. Theater goer probably looking at it, they're going to be like, well, there's three guys and a polar bear.
Well, then also Dreamfinder was pulled out in like 98.
Yeah.
So that's almost 20 years. So there's a lot of people that are, you know, feel old when you say 18-year-old people have no idea who that
but
is.
But then
too.
South Park did that parody of him.
They
people
did.
People seem to get it. So I feel like he's.
That's why I wanted to
we kind of think we're isolated in this community sometimes. We forget how many normal people go to Disney World and actually sometimes remember
exactly.
something they saw, you know?
I know. I think all of us, when we saw that episode of South Park, knew exactly who that
and
was.
And we're like, other people know? Other people remember this? All right.
You know what? Also, the fact that like when I saw this, it looks like an old school. It looks like an attraction
it's
poster.
The
I mean,
it's a takeoff of the carousel. Poster.
We kind of wanted to make it look like the old carousel ad, and in a way, it was just to include them all in sort of that cartoony look that we weren't actually doing any kind of trademark thing either. So we wanted to make it all look.
No, I love it. I love the style. I like that's one of the things I was like, do you have any chance to have any posters or buttons or anything? He's like, yeah, we do. We bring them for you guys. So I appreciate that.
No,
definitely.
Not a problem. And it's definitely got the sitcom vibe to it. And we do have a fifth cast member who's not advertised in one of the photos who is Janine Klein. She's another local actress. And she plays the only human character. In the show.
Oh, okay.
Who happens to stumble upon their home not knowing who lives there. So that's where the mistaken identity and confusion and mistakes come and wacky hijinks that always come from a sitcom of the one person who doesn't know when they're knocking on the door who lives there. So that's where the whole insane sitcom stuff comes from of what a person would do if they walk into a house of these.
Oh my God. It'd be heaven.
Together.
Hilarity ensues. Jeff, you're kind of a veteran, I think, of Fringe, right? You've done some other Fringe shows?
Yeah, this is my sixth show that I've done at Fringe. So I've been involved since 2008 was the first show I wrote and produced myself. But I've actually done a show when Fringe first started in the first few years back in the late 90s. Downtown. Fringe is very different. Before, it used to be in abandoned buildings and stuff in downtown Orlando, and it was really a completely different experience than it is now. And both were great, but the way it's set up now, everything's centrally located. You've got that food court, beer tent, bar area to lounge in the middle between shows. Just makes it a completely different experience.
Yeah. And you you also do some stand-up comedy, right? Do you have any?
I do. I travel all over the Southeast Florida area, performing in metropolis cities like Crystal River and Ocala and Fort Myers, you know, telling jokes to retirees. It works out really great.
Awesome.
No. It's no, there's nothing better than doing comedy at a dog track. So.
Yes, take the gigs that you can get, right?
No, I will perform anywhere.
You could be worse. You could be doing a monologue in an abandoned radio studio.
I know. I see why you trapped this person in a glass box behind me. You're not here right now, people, but I'm sitting in front of this glass window with a guy at a soundboard. It's like a low-rent version of the pre-show of a rock and roller coaster happening here.
Nice.
Steven Tyler might actually walk in there. I don't know, though.
It's possible. This is rare. So he's been known to hang around. No, he hasn't.
Or just an old lady.
Now
looks
I
want like
to come in one day and film a fake rock and roller coaster pre-show through that window.
We have.
I'm surprised you haven't thought of that. That's what I thought as soon as I sat down.
No, it's gonna have to happen.
No, it's fun in here. It's a good time, and you're welcome to stop by and tell some jokes anytime you'd like. You hear, you know.
No, I get paid to do that. I generally do that. I do that for the money. So,
the animatronicans. I almost got that again. Yeah, I know.
Almost got it
so slow. I almost said animatronicans. I don't know why. But anyway, animatronicans. After this run, I mean, is there any vision for it to go anywhere else besides, you know, past Fringe?
I don't know if it could play anywhere other than here. I think it's Orlando, definitely Orlando driven and Orlando based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other cities may not get it unless there's some hardcore Disney fans that
this
would go out.
Town.
It's very unique in Orlando, and just some of the references and the local references with it, especially being in Windermere.
If it gets good reviews or something, is it possible it can be in other venues in Orlando?
Shows have had life after Fringe. Actually, a show that debuted, I think it was in 2010, 2011. It was originally called, I don't know if I can say, Bitches of the Kingdom.
Sure.
It was two guys
let
wrote
that one
it.
Go. You get one free, baby.
That was the title of it. And but it eventually was redone and played on Broadway and off Broadway as Disenchanted.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that actually was written by two local guys that started it at Fringe about, you know, the Disney princesses. Of what their life was like and them singing songs based on their stories and what it would be like if they got to tell their side of the story.
Oh, yeah. When was that?
I think it was in Orlando. I think it was 2010,
okay,
2011 when it debuted here. But it's gone on, and it's being done all over the U.S. And, you know, regional theaters are licensing the rights to do that show. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of Orlando that moves on to bigger things, especially even at Fringe festivals.
Yeah, that one sounds familiar. Again, the animatronicans running at the Fringe Festival starting next week, a week from tonight.
Week from tonight. 10:30 p.m. is our first show.
Go ahead to orlandofringe.org to get your tickets. You want to talk a little bit about the rest of this cast? I mean, you have these four talented actors here.
Yeah.
And a known director, I guess, that's done a lot with the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, Michael Wanzi, if you're a local Orlando person, you would know the name. If you've seen last year, he did The Lion Queen, which was a complete spoof of The Lion King. That one is basically, he had the Disney, he's a big Disney nut too, so he loves the show. So it was a spoof of The Lion King, the Broadway version, the version at the Animal Kingdom. So he kind of just spoofed that entire thing. It's myself playing Dreamfinder. I said Janine Klein, who works at several of the parks in Orlando as well. Doug Bowser, who is a local actor who is on another radio show doing a movie review with Wanzi, and then you've got Josh Siniscalco playing President Lincoln, who is also works at other parks. He was, I think, the usher at Halloween Horror Nights, and you can see him at Universal as well. And then James Keaton plays the polar bear, who is also known, and a lot of theme park people will know him as Jack the Clown.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. So, a lot of fun. Great, great cast. If you want to stick around, Jeff, you can. You know, we're going to play the math game.
Are you going to tell more jokes?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I
we might attempt some.
We're going to attempt some, yeah. Yeah, is that,
I might think about it.
Is that a deal breaker?
Can we turn your mic off? Maybe is that an option?
Wow, is this like what did you tell him to
no
man?
I'm reading from the script
I've
he handed me.
He
handed me a script.
This is rough.
He handed me a script to read from.
This is rough. Understand. All right, fine.
I'll hang out.
Cool. We got Jeff here from the Animatronicans here, and we got you guys as well playing the WDWNT, the math game. We're looking for some contestants.
Please
to play.
Stick around. I promise there's more than math coming up.
It's good. It's WDWNT, the math game. You get some great prizes from Theme Park Connection. We'll give you a rundown on the rules when we get back. But if you want to play, give us a call, 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. We also have Cornac.
Yeah, people in the chat just ask, is Cornac coming? He's outside. I gotta go get him.
He's coming hour two.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder.
Phone lines lit up to play WDWNT.
This
the
is insane.
Game.
It's like everyone's doing it to spite me at this point.
I don't
really.
You know what? We might. Oh man, we only have we literally only have 2 minutes here.
Yeah, so we're just coming back.
Yeah, so
we're gonna take a quick break in a moment.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to hold off. So if you're on the line to play WDWNT the math game, hold on because we will be getting to you and just after the commercial break here. It's about 3 or 4 minutes away. So just hold on. We'll play that coming up at the top of the second hour. Also, we have Cornac the Magnificent.
He's out there. I just went and saw him. He's doing great. He's ready to go.
I think he's getting some OJ downstairs.
Yes.
Orange juice, quenching the thirst.
Sure.
And indulging in the spoils of the West.
We're in the East.
Yeah.
And what was the random OJ?
I thought we were in the West. Wait, what? Because we're in Orlando.
Oh, jeez.
Now you're confusing me. We're in the West.
Of what?
Western Hemisphere. Cornex okay. From the East.
I guess we are.
We're definitely in the West.
That's the Far East.
Yes.
Yeah, he's right. Nick's not often right.
Thank you.
I think he's right this time.
I am very right. We're definitely in the West.
And they don't have orange juice
they
in the East.
They might not. I don't think they do.
They do have Shanghai Disneyland.
they
that pirate ride, but no orange juice. Take that! You may have that Pirates of the Caribbean, but orange juice belongs.
Hey, we have poutine.
We have lots of poutine. All right, stick around. More animatronicans.
And
more
math.
Cornac and math.
Oh, I can't wait for math.
Also later next hour, who's mad at Tom now?
WDW News Tonight. We're live on AM 1520 WBZW in Orlando. Also live at listen.wdwnt.com. Audio and video streaming. And of course, a thank you to those of you watching this later on YouTube or on demand in audio as well. I won't leave anybody out. Next week on the show, May 18th, we're back with another live episode. We're going to be audio we're recording this Sunday at Disney Springs. We're going to go try all of those new restaurants.
Oh, my God.
May God have mercy on our souls.
Other guts.
Yeah. And that half Japanese, half Mexican booth. Try that out.
Have poutine.
Yes, oh, I'm lots all of in poutine, the poutine. I will be all up in that poutine. And
oh, jeez.
That sounded
really that would dirty. Be a first for you, Nick, wouldn't it? Anyway, we haven't even gotten to Cornette yet. Disney Parks Pursuit going to be back next week as well. That's our insane game that combines your knowledge of music, locations, food, all everything at Disney Parks. Yes, pretty much. It's pretty intense. So that's back next week and much, much, much more.
But tonight is the math game.
Well, let's plug our sponsors.
All right, good sponsor.
That you always skip over in the script.
I don't always skip over it. WW News Tonight is brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner, is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can awaken summer and save up to 30% on rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for stays most nights, June 12th through August 25th, 2016, when you book by June 10th, 2016. Plus, you get that exclusive Awaken Summer BB-8 graphic magic band when you upgrade to a room and the theme park package. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today.
Someone just asked for the phone number again. It's 407-774-8255.
Try to get in.
Yeah, we're almost at phone capacity here.
This is for people to play the math game?
It is for people to do math, as ridiculous as that sounds.
Well, you can't do that at home. I mean,
it's true.
Unless you go to school.
Can't get theme park connection prizes either.
Doing math, no. Usually you get a grade and a future.
So here's the deal.
In this case, you could win like an old coin or a bunch.
A blender.
Or something that actually means something, unlike a college diploma. But anyway. Go ahead, Nick. Start the math.
All right, so we have a few contestants on hold. Everybody on hold, listen up, because here are the rules for the math game, okay?
Are you going to tell people how to do math?
Yes. We're gonna go over it a little bit.
Can we use calculators?
You can.
Oh, well.
See?
Get your TI-83+ out. Don't start playing with the games that you installed on it.
Hack it. All right, so you could use calculators. You could use your smartphone. You could use your computer. I don't care what you use. You could use your old encyclopedias. You could use, written notes. You could use old park guides.
What is an encyclopedia going to help you with in the math game?
A definition of the word math.
Boy.
When was math created?
So, here you go. Here's the deal, though. I'm going to give you the entire math problem. There's a few different numbers that you have to figure out or know and come up with the solution to the math problem. You have, once I finish reading the question in its entirety, you will hear the music start, and that means you have 2 minutes on the clock to figure out this math problem. 2 minutes, okay?
This is
amazing. You could ask me to repeat any of the parts of the math problem that you want, so I can repeat it as much and as often as you'd like, and you just have to come up with the correct answer to the exact number, okay?
Someone in the chat said, I haven't took math since 10th grade. It's probably the last time you took it.
Jeff, you're up first.
The grammar game next week. All right.
Next week, who can put together a sentence?
Jeff, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Anaheim.
Anaheim,
California. California.
Nice. All right.
Do they have math out there in Anaheim?
No, it's strictly Disney controlled.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, so hopefully you can figure these out. So here we go. Here is your math question, Jeff. If the theoretical hourly ride capacity on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is 1,650, what is the theoretical ride capacity over 3 hours subtracted by the degree the oven temperature was increased to in Carousel of Progress before it overloaded, subtracted by the cost of preferred parking at Walt Disney World, divided by the total number of days of the 2016 Epcot Flower and Garden Festival?
You're going to want a pen and paper.
You're going to want a pen and you're going to want to repeat.
Someone's yelling in the back.
All right.
He's already phoning a friend.
Seven. No, she's in the room with me.
So the 3-hour capacity is 49.50.
I know.
Okay. Just go with the number he gave you. I agree. But go with the number he gave you. How does this show exist? How does this happen? We come back.
And if he gets it wrong, who, you know, people on hold could start working this problem. If he gets it wrong.
Did they hang up the people on hold
no,
yet?
No, they're still there.
Oh, they're still there? Okay.
All right. So, we got the Mine Train hourly capacity at 1650. What is its capacity over 3 hours, subtracted by the degree the oven temperature increased since its carousel of progress before it overloaded, subtracted by the cost of preferred parking at Walt Disney World, divided by total days of this year's Epcot Flower and Garden Festival?
That's
you have about 45 seconds left.
Okay.
All right, so March
20th
to May 30th is the Flower and Garden Festival.
Oh, no.
So that's 30 days in May.
They can hear you.
I'm telling you, psychologists are going to start studying this show.
They can, and it makes it all the more fun.
I know, I'm grateful that we can hear whoever he's talking to.
So it's
4290.
60 days with March.
All right.
29.
Is that, time just ran out. Is that going to be your final answer? I see yourself figuring stuff out.
Yeah, 4290 is going to be my answer.
4290. Wow. Wow. Incredibly close. 42. No. You did something very wrong.
Wait, what's the equation? Can you repeat the question?
Are you saying 4,490?
4,290.
Yeah, no. Actually, that's way off. That is way off.
If you actually know the answers to anything?
Of course I know the answers. I did it out here. I did it out here. So,
I have no idea what the oven temperature was. So.
Oh, okay. All right. That's probably...
You got to know that one.
Yeah, it's probably
where
it went off. All right. Well, I'm sorry, Jeff. We're going to move on to our next contestant, see if they got this one right. All right?
All right.
Thank you, though.
He's so annoyed. All right.
The best. Katie, how you doing tonight?
I never listened to
Katie. Oh, wait, sorry, Katie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Where are you calling in from tonight, Katie?
Utah.
Utah, all right. Did you start working on that math problem that we were given?
I have a paper out right now, and I've quickly scribbled words written on it. I am Googling the preferred parking price.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and read it again, then I'm going to put up 2 minutes here. The theoretical hourly ride capacity on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is 1650. What is the theoretical ride capacity over 3 hours subtracted by the degree the oven temperature was increased to in the carousel of progress before it overloaded, subtracted by the cost of preferred parking at Walt Disney World, divided by the total days of this year's Epcot Flower and Garden Festival? And I know, Katie, you're working on it, but you still have 2 minutes on the clock here.
Okay.
I think I'm extremely wrong.
Do you want me to put it up on the screen for you, Tom?
Yeah, you can. You can give me that.
I just wish I knew the temperature heat.
One of your numbers is wrong.
It is not.
That's not the price of preferred parking.
Is it not?
No.
Oh, oops.
If you're an annual pass holder, that's the price.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Hmm. Interesting.
So let me get this straight. Number one, I allowed you to do the math game this week. Number two, you then got the first problem wrong.
It's technically right, sort of.
If they get that, how could they get that number?
They can't.
That's not correct.
They can't. I wonder if Jeff was right.
Jeff is probably right.
I don't know. That was pretty far off.
So why do we stop the clock? Because he can't get this because your number's wrong.
Understand.
Can I give you the correct preferred parking price?
Yes.
It's $35.
Okay.
$35?
$35 is the parking price. We're okay. Killing this question, by the way. This question's Boy. Done. I'm gonna see if Nick can play the math game at this point. Nick's sitting there doing that.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
This is what I get for letting you do the math.
It is.
Is the point of this game for the listener to beat, to get the answer before he does?
That would be amazing.
If he does, I'll give him a prize.
Count.
Don't worry, Nick's at it.
How much is it? $35?
$35, yeah. It's $15 if you're an annual pass holder. It's an additional $15. Because regular parking is $20, so it's $15 more for preferred. So as an annual pass holder, you have free parking.
I just need the day of the Flower and Garden Festival. How much time do I have left?
I don't care.
He stopped the clock.
We've got about 2 weeks.
Oh,
I think.
Thank you. Okay. So I just need to count the days between the Flower and Garden Festival.
I want to see if we can get Nick to the answer at this
point.
Can't
do this. Like,
Nick, do you have a big enough phone for this?
I can't do
this. You got the biggest iPhone possible, and you still can't punch in numbers.
I'm lost. 35 equals that divided by 9. Yeah, I think he's still wrong.
Okay. Well, I gave you the right number, so.
Okay. I have all the numbers. I just need to do the math now. Okay.
I mean, technically, I will say that if you round up this number, it actually is the same number.
Oh, it came out the same anyway?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So there you go, Tom.
Still, you still put the wrong amount in. That doesn't change.
Still going,
that is not the price of preferred parking. Regardless, I'd have to now check all your other questions.
I believe I have the answer.
Okay, what do you got?
What do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to say this with decimal. I have 4,574.61
Am I doing this wrong?
I don't know.
Uh-oh, he's laughing. That means I got it wrong.
What did you do? Let me check your work.
Do this. This is the worst.
Show, did you show your work?
In the history of...
We need to show your work.
Thing. This is the worst.
I told you before, last week I said, are you sure you want to do this?
Stop.
It's terrible.
Do the math problem.
You want me to do
it's
it?
It's 44.
I went to school for journalism, not anything with
44,
numbers.
The answer's 44.
Yes, Katie.
Yay, do I win by default?
Hold on. I don't know how
I'm
going to
send
thousands.
Everyone who's called so far something. Just
if Jeff calls back, we'll send them some.
I think the correct answer is blue.
All right. So Katie gets a prize. You doing this, actually?
So it's 1650 times 3.
Right.
4,950.
Subtracted by 975.
975 is the temperature, yeah.
Subtracted by.
Oh, I read the temperature wrong. I had like a script of the Carousel of Progress, and it said like 375 on here.
That's where it starts.
Absolutely. I already hit the wrong number because I put your 15 in again. 1650 times 3 minus 975 minus 35 divided by 90. I got 3,974. Now he's on the phone. This is the worst show on
You should have just done the match game instead of the math game.
How this is the most listened to show on this station is beyond me.
All right. So,
3,974 is what I got.
All right. Fair enough.
Is that right?
I don't know. I got 44.
How'd you get 44?
I just did it. I get it when I do it now, too.
All right. You need a PhD to come in here and give you the right answer, because that's kind of
Jason,
what it seems like.
Jason.
Hey.
Jason got 43.77. Right. I trust Jason's math.
That's what
Jason
I
went
have.
To a very good
Patrick,
school.
Patrick got this too.
But that's
Patrick
what I got.
Got the number two.
Okay.
43.77 to 44. Nick,
thank
did you want people to follow the proper order of operation or just the way you spat
they
out numbers?
They have to do math correctly. I
yeah.
mean, that's... Order of operations is math. Let's try one more.
Should we?
Really?
There's people on the line. We have to do something with them.
Try one more, and Patrick and I are going to do it simultaneously, and we'll double-check the right answer.
Hey, Cole.
The number of
tonight?
Listeners has gone up. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Can you believe what they're saying?
I got 43.5.
Thank you. It's 44-ish. Thank you.
It's somewhere between 43 and 44.
Okay.
Give him a prize for that number.
Everybody's getting a prize. Everybody, I'm sorry, you're going to have to hold for a second, but everybody is going to get a prize. Cole, you're up next. Here we go. All right, so here's your math problem. You got a new math problem here, okay?
Okay.
All right, this one's going to be fun.
If the first one's any indication.
If the theoretical hourly ride capacity on Tower of Terror is 2,000... What is the theoretical ride capacity over 7 hours?
Seven?
Yes, seven.
There it is.
Divided by the number of presidents in the Hall of Presidents, subtracted by the price of a Disney After Hours ticket.
Before discount.
Thank you. Plus the number of nations in the World Showcase.
Not counting the Frozen Meet and Greet Pavilion. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
All right. Not that it matters, but your 2 minutes is starting.
Okay.
The great country of frozen meat.
All right, so we got the hourly ride capacity of Tower Terror is 2,000. What is the theoretical ride capacity over 7 hours, divided by the number of presidents inside the Hall of Presidents, subtracted by a Disney After Hours ticket, no discounts, and plus the world number of World Showcase Nations pavilions there. Let's see if this one... Tom, are you doing this one, too?
No.
You're not doing this
no,
one?
No, I'm done.
You're not taking this. All right. I think... But all that, and I was still right. So...
Sure.
But I was. There's no disputing that. It's right or wrong, and I was right.
Nick was right to within 0.25.
I'm rounding up. And this one, you round up to the whole number. Round up to the whole number. I should have said that, but that didn't... I don't know how people were getting thousands and thousands.
No, thousands was wrong.
I love this music.
Thank you.
What is this from?
It's generic music that said, like, Into the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone!
Danger Zone!
Obviously, math is a danger zone.
This whole show is a danger zone.
Oh, this segment will be shipped off to the Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Is what not to do.
What do you think Cornack feels about this? Oh, by the way, you got like 30 seconds.
By the way.
How you doing there? Cornack's downstairs fuming.
Yeah, because we're out of orange juice.
The math is wrong and we're out of orange juice. Start over.
Oh, Cole, how you doing there?
Good.
You think you got it? Yeah, you think you got it?
I came up with 163.
163. A little bit off from the math that I did. Jason and...
I got 164.
164. I shouldn't do this.
No.
Do you think you're right, Jason?
I got a gigantic negative number.
Jason, where do you have a degree from, Jason?
MIT.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Jason's answer.
How many presidents are there?
Shouldn't you know that if you wrote 40? The question?
Well, let's see. Yeah, really. What radio station do you work at? Really should know that, probably.
So I have the capacity on Tower Terror 2,000 times 7, which brings us up to, what, 14,000?
Yeah.
That's good so far, yes.
Divided by 44, correct?
43.
I had 43, too.
Obama's the 44th president, isn't he?
He is. Cleveland's twice.
Oh, nice.
Mount Grover, Cleveland,
good
twice.
Job.
There's 43 presidents.
There is. I was wrong on my own one.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Good. You guys did good. I'm done.
Do we have anyone else on the line? Is there anyone else waiting?
Bring Gabe on. Gabe is at least school
age. Gabe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm
here.
We're
just going to mail you a prize. Is that all right?
It's fine.
Okay,
so
great.
It's just been one giant bake mode overload. Beep, right. Beep, enjoy your meal.
Thank you, Gabe. We'll talk to you next week. All right. So we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to go bring Kornak in. He's yelling about the orange juice. Going to bring him in. Yeah. The math game.
That's how it goes, guys.
You can play the home version of this.
The home version. Go to commercial, please. Before I murder you, please go to commercial.
Yeah. WW News Tonight. We'll be back with Kornak.
These dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from here.
These presidents are haunting me. All right, welcome back to WDW News Tonight. It is with great honor, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is a very special night, as we have a great visitor from the East, the famous seer, sage, all-knowing, all-seeing, and accountant for Shanghai Disneyland, ladies and gentlemen, Kornak the Magnificent!
Thank you.
Welcome, O Great Kornak.
May you be overpassed like World Drive.
Thanks, I guess. Kornak, now in my hands, right here, I hold a stack of hermetically sealed envelopes that have been stored in a pickle jar at the Tower of Terror, not at the bar area. Since noon today, no one knows the contents of these envelopes but you. In your incredible divine way, will ascertain the answers without ever before seeing the questions inside these envelopes. Is that correct, sir?
Indeed.
Anyone can plainly see that these envelopes are sealed. So are you ready to divine the answers for the questions enclosed in all of these?
I am.
I will bring them to you.
Yes, please. No math.
Did you have an answer for the math question?
I foresaw the answers were all going to be wrong. I foresaw that last week. This is in the correct order, I presume.
I did the math. It adds up. Okay. They are in the correct order.
Okay, I certainly hope so. This can only get worse. Anyway, all right. First envelope. 2 years and 9 months.
2 years? 9 months.
How long does infinity last to the Walt Disney Company? 2 years and 9 months. Good, they're in the right order. Next one.
Get a good start. Yes.
STK.
STK.
What state do fanboys usually leave the seats at Carousel of Progress in?
Correct!
Sticky. Don't get any better, folks. Next one.
I think they do.
I hope so. Party ticket price tiers. There are a lot of them. What are most Disney fans wiping off of their faces?
Oh!
That and tears from the math game. as well.
I am too. I'm sorry.
I foresaw it would be a disaster.
I wish you told me, Karnak.
I did. It's Cornak for legal purposes. Next one, Dole Whip.
Dole Whip.
The Dole Whip. What does Bob Dole do after he named it?
He's really enjoying that, isn't he?
You know what I really didn't enjoy? The math game. Anyway.
Nay-nay.
The Battle for Sunken Treasure.
The Battle for Sunken Treasure.
What is the internal fight over Rivers of Light at WDI referred to? Sunken. Never mind.
It is.
Might be sunken. Who knows? Anyway. Tokyo Disneyland, Shanghai Disneyland, and the Disney Food Blog.
Tokyo Disneyland, Shanghai Disneyland, and the Disney Food Blog.
Name three things that are not presented in English.
Oh!
Ooh, tough room.
For Disney Food Blog. Glad I'm not them right now.
I'm glad. I would be glad to be them and not us right now, in fairness. Oh, boy. Infinity.
Infinity.
What kind of car could you buy for the price of a Disney After Hours ticket?
$149, as we learned in the math game.
It's a joke. That you can't actually buy an Infiniti for $149.
Maybe if you use the math game, math, you can.
With math game, math, you can do anything. It's infinite. Boy. Hyperspace Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain. It's a tough one. Space Mountain. What happens if Space Mountain has a lot of sugar?
Oh, yeah.
So stupid. So stupid. My favorite thing with this is we come up with like three good ones, and we're like, well, we got to fill the rest.
That one was amazing.
I'm waiting on the three good ones.
Oh, just wait. There's three left, so.
Odds are.
Autopia.
Autopia.
A little rusty. It's been a while. What is the name of the Zootopia sequel where cars take over the Earth? Autopia. Presented by Honda.
Is that Pixar?
Through the Looking Glass.
Through the Looking Glass.
I missed it. It's like the math game.
It's in there.
Through the Looking Glass. Where would you rather smash your face than see the new Alice movie?
No.
Through the Looking Glass. Anyway. Last envelope!
Last envelope!
May you forever play the math game. The Image Works!
The Image Works!
The Image Works. The Image Works. What rarely happens on all of the screens at Universal Orlando? The Image Works.
Cornak the Magnificent, ladies and gentlemen. The one, the only. All right, this is WDW News Tonight. We're having fun here tonight. And,
Cornak out.
Cornak's going to step away for a little bit, but we have much more in store for you tonight, including no more math game. We do have a continuation of our dining discussion. I think we'll take on the resorts tonight with some of our panelists over at WWNT, and we have a little bit of animosity towards Tom. Who hates Tom?
Coming I can up tell you who hates Nick. It's Tom.
It lives in our people. Norway.
Welcome back to WW News Tonight, where Nick can't add or subtract or do much. Is your mic off the stand? What did you do? Nick's mic is completely off the thing. All right, so I guess I'm doing the rest of the show, which probably isn't a bad thing.
Why couldn't that have happened earlier?
I was like, comment, whoever made the comment in the chat, name three places where the math game actually works. You're wonderful. Thank you. Nick, there we got it. He has it on camera now. Nick trying to fix his microphone.
I want to go home tonight. I shouldn't be here. I was all excited. Animatronicans. Jeff, thanks for sticking around tonight.
Will you lock the door? I can't get out.
I tend to do that. Jeff, of course, from the writer of the Animatronicans, great show premiering at the Fringe Festival here in Orlando next week. Check it out if you're in town. OrlandoFringe.org is the site. You get to see Polar Bear, John from Carousel of Progress, Abe Lincoln, and Dreamfinder. Can't miss. Tom and I were talking while you were downstairs. We're going. We're definitely getting to. We can't go next Wednesday. We can't go to the opening, which kind of stinks.
We unfortunately have to come back here and try to do math again.
We will not be doing any math in the animatronic.
No
math at all. Math free zone.
Look. You make fun of me all you want. The first one was right. First one, people got it.
No one.
The MIT dude got it.
Jeez. Anyway.
We're going to bring on our panelists, talk a little bit about dining. We're continuing our discussion from last week, where we went around all four parks, and this week we're going to tackle the resorts.
Patrick, that's a cool shirt you got there, Patrick. What's on that shirt?
This is the Hollywood Studio Hard Hats from TeePublic.
Woo! Look at that Nixon microphone.
Not Teespring. That is not a thing.
Teespring is not a thing. So joining us down there, you'll see them in the video there. Ashley, Dustin, Jason, and Patrick, who now vanished. Oh, no, there's Patrick. Never mind. Nick's there trying to fix his microphone.
That's the best.
You okay there?
Did you get it, Nick?
You do this for a living, right?
It came unscrewed. It's not my fault.
So did the math game.
That was your fault.
I'll take responsibility for it.
So last week we started talking about dining at Walt Disney World. We tried to do a quick best and worst, but as usual, it turned into a huge argument, and it took much longer than expected. So we still ended up leaving off Disney Springs and then all of the resorts at Walt Disney World. So we're going to talk about what we think are the best and worst of the two categories, table and counter service, and panel, why don't we start? At Disney Springs? Let's start with table service at Disney Springs.
I wonder if we should save Disney Springs till next week because it might be all different.
Well, for now,
I mean that yay sucky might be like the new.
Well, I mean, in fairness, there's not even the stuff opening. There's one deluxe burger is the only sit down in all of that. The others are mostly kiosks. So. While they're important and cool, not necessarily going to change the world. But we'll start with Springs. We'll start with what's there now. So what do we think? What do we think for start with table service? What's the best table service at Disney Springs? Whoever wants to go. Does anyone like anything at Disney Springs?
I'll jump in. I absolutely loved Fulton's. I know that's not popular among a lot of people, but I really, really, really enjoyed Fulton's. I've had several good meals there. Stone Crab was the first time I ever had it. I never even heard of it. It was delicious. So, yeah, Fulton's, and hopefully Paddlefish will be good as well.
Nick, I converted you this weekend. to the cult of Boathouse.
Well, yeah, for sure. You know, you were going to try to turn me around on Jock Lindsay's first.
And then we realized they stopped serving food eventually.
What? Why? At 11 o'clock.
Even though they're in the dining district
11 o'clock
of
on a
Disney
Saturday.
Springs on a Saturday
they
night.
They stopped serving food?
Yeah. At 11 o'clock.
Any food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just drinks.
Wow.
There's a lot of places there that's hard to eat after 11 o'clock.
Yeah. I just figured with this whole new thing, if the landing was supposed to be this just dining area.
Yeah.
I figured, well, oh, you could eat till 2 o'clock now.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad.
Boathouse was happy to serve us the full menu at 12 o'clock, though.
Boathouse, I am in love. Yeah. The drinks were spectacular. The food was just amazing. I mean, I tried your guys' stuff too, and I had the swordfish steak.
Swordfish,
oh my goodness, it was
paddlefish
so good.
Paddlefish steak.
Can't wait.
That's only at
amazing.
Can't wait to go back to try the lobster bake. But everything there was amazing. So yeah, that went right to the top of my list.
I've been to Boathouse, I think, honestly, 8 to 10 times now, and I've tried to order something different every time, and I have been amazed. Every time, it's spectacular. It's
except for that time you went with me. I don't remember what I got, but I wasn't amazed.
What'd you get?
I can't remember. I have no idea. It was
really?
So unmemorable.
I think it's the time I got the hamburger. I thought the hamburger was good too.
You did get the hamburger. Yeah. I don't remember what I got.
Yeah, I don't know.
Live music too. Love it. Great atmosphere.
Yeah, that was neat. No, it's a great place. I love Boathouse. And Morimoto is great, too, but I think Boathouse is just hands down the best there right now.
Yeah, for me, the tough thing about table service in Disney Springs that you're going there for entertainment. So for me, every time we go, it's hard for us to justify the table service when we know there's so much to see and do. Splitsville is probably one of the top places by way of the ambiance and the atmosphere that they have going on. Food's okay. I think for me the worst is Bongos. I think when you look at the atmosphere, the fact that it's really loud, it's really all over the place, and the menu is very weak. If you want to put it into the perspective of all the other competition. But every time we go to Disney Springs, we're more impressed with the quick service than with the table service.
I haven't been to a whole lot of table service at Disney Springs. I think, quite honestly, the only one I've ever been to was Paradiso. And it wasn't bad, so I guess by default that would be my favorite.
Yeah, what do you think?
The one I've had, but
I haven't dined at a lot of the newer ones.
Okay.
I mean, I worked out there at down at Disney when it was there. For 5 years when
What'd
it first opened. I worked at House of Blues when it first opened for 5 years.
But, House of Blues is good.
Yeah.
I like House of Blues. I'm gonna
bless you.
I'm gonna have to vote the worst to be Rainforest Cafe.
Oh no. No.
Oh come on.
There's far worse. This place is full of terrible restaurants. So I was gonna say Captain Jack's, and then I realized that's closed. Captain Jack's is honestly, I think, the worst restaurant I've ever been to in my entire life.
I agree with that.
Like, bar none.
If it was still there,
Captain
I would have.
Jack's.
Yeah.
So then I wanted to go with Fulton's, but they're closed. And then I wanted to go Planet Hollywood.
They're closed.
But they're closed.
They're closed.
So I ended up at Portobello. Because Portobello is a sad excuse for Italian food.
So does that mean you're going to close that one down now?
I hope so. There's rumor is they're going to close once they're done with paddlefish anyway, so.
Yeah, I didn't put Planet Hollywood in this conversation because it's closed now, and you never know what they're going to come
it's
out with the
back.
New with the new menus and the new inside. And
it'll be
like
all
that.
Astronomy themed.
Yeah, but the old one was absolutely horrible. The steak was probably the worst that I've had on property. The service was really hit or miss, and they hadn't upgraded anything. So the fact that you walked in and they still had like birthday greetings up on the screen, like up characters, and it was like, this is great. It's it's exciting in 2012, but being that it's 2016, let's try something new.
Sorry about that. Nick, you're on a roll tonight.
Oh, stop.
Also, there's this power surge in here. What is happening on this show tonight?
I like Glenn Slater in there.
Lost
I can actually see in there.
Lost all control of this show.
That's good.
The microphones are falling.
You know, with the astronomy theme, I heard Planet Hollywood's going to be out of this world. But the problem is it's not far enough out of this world.
Oh! Wow.
Anyway. The phone falling. Just someone continue.
Horrendous. All right, let's move away from Disney Springs and then go to the resorts.
No, we're not done with Springs. We're going to do counter service.
Oh. Never get away from Springs.
Wetzel's Pretzels.
Agreed.
Oh, wait, they're plumbed, aren't they?
The Pretzel Sundae.
That wouldn't be bad.
The service in Disney Springs is actually good. You know, probably the best value for a quick service dining credit is Wolfgang Puck, the Express Cafe that they have.
Which
the pizza
one?
Is great. The Express Cafe under on the first level.
Marketplace?
No.
There's two of them.
Other side.
Okay.
That's probably the best one, but the most iconic quick service in Disney Springs, Earl of Sandwich. You know, you
I
can't
like
go there without getting a classic or any of the sandwiches there. It's just one of those, why not?
Like Patrick's just lounging. It's so cool. It's like, yeah, I like that restaurant, it's all right. You're also muted, dummy.
And we can't hear him.
Oh, boy.
I'm having a good day.
This is a disaster.
This whole show
will never
end. I also go
air.
With Earl of Sandwich.
And I'm about to voluntarily do math.
Cornak foresees the cancellation of this program.
Jeez. This show, the animatronics has to be a hit. Jeff is hilarious. This is going to be good.
Well, I'm just making fun of you, so
yeah,
it's kind of easy. I'm like shooting fish in a barrel here right now.
It's
so.
Like shooting a paddlefish in a barrel. They don't even have teeth to fight back.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my Lord.
I think Cooks of Dublin has a pretty decent menu. I like Cooks of Dublin a lot.
Absolutely.
But Wolfgang, I have a tie between the two of them. I like the Marketplace one a little better. I've had better service experiences at that one, but I understand they're similar menus anyway. It doesn't really matter. But those two I like. The worst counter service at Disney Springs is what I call the cone stand. It's across from Marketplace Co-op. Right on the water's edge, there's that stand that could never keep a menu because it's always terrible. For a while, it was the food cones. It's real awful.
I was excited when they got the food cones.
They don't have the cones anymore,
no,
but it's
don't.
Still bad. It's something. It's like nachos.
It is. It's nachos. I think it's
inedible.
Chili cheese fries, maybe.
Something.
I don't know.
It's bad.
See, I'm disappointed with the food trucks. I thought that when they made this big announcement that we were going to have incredible food trucks and it was going to be this cool little area set up. Anytime we go there,
they're closed.
They're closed.
Number one.
And I'm just like, this would be awesome if you will take my money.
Yeah.
Please give me the food.
And they're delicious. I love them. I've caught them a few times. Every time I'm there and I'm actually hungry and it's like, it's 11, 12 o'clock.
They
it's lunchtime.
They also get lost in the mix, though, kind of there.
No, I understand that.
I forget
that,
they exist unless I'm walking past
they're
them.
Hidden. They're kind of hidden by those.
Yeah.
Open up and I'll eat there. I'll walk all the way over to the other side. I wanted to.
Like at like, Disneyland, no, I'm like, oh, I got to get a corn dog. And meanwhile, we kind of have them here now, and I still don't make a point.
Because they're not open. Even if you went, they wouldn't be open. When did they open? Like, five, they open from like 5
to 8?
And it's
at random. I've been there on Saturdays where they're open at like 11 or 12, and then there's Saturdays where they're just not. There's no rhyme or reason necessarily.
But now they might not be useful anymore anyway with all these stands. I don't know why.
There is a lot of food here now. And I know they can handle it, but in the end, I kind of wonder how much is too much. Like, you have a capacity for food. And I'm sure there's someone who's crunched the numbers, someone more qualified than Nick, who did the math on how many people might come there and how much food service you actually need.
Yeah, but you still go on a random Monday night, and it's an hour wait to get into any restaurant.
It's true. I mean, but they're certainly adding enough. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I don't know. Just don't eat at the cone stand.
The non-cone stand.
The non-cone stand, whatever it is.
We can't have cones.
Anyone else counter-serve?
I'm gonna agree and say the food trucks because of the unpredictability. And I think I got... an Animal Kingdom dish from there, and I wasn't impressed.
Okay, that's definitely, I think, the weirdest of the food trucks.
Is the
Animal Kingdom one. It's kind of all over the place. So anyway,
is it time to move on to resorts?
I mean, we could push resorts to next week.
Well, I think either resorts has to be after show or next week. Yeah, unfortunately.
Because this has already been a disaster so far. Let's do that next week.
Next week, resorts.
So, but there you go. There's our review on Disney Springs. I apologize, panelists. As you know, this show has gone off the rails.
I want to know who picks Tom this week.
Yeah,
besides anyone who's called in to play the math game.
It's overflow from last week, actually. Although I know there is new material this week you'll have to touch on next
week.
But yeah.
But so you ready? Ready, Tom?
Oh, sure.
Is everybody ready to find out?
Is it bright enough in here? Look at that glare. Look at
that. Who hates Tom now? Let's take a look at this. This one's pretty simple. This person just didn't agree with you. First details on how Disneyland's Fastpass Plus will work.
Yeah.
Turtle 20 writes, nope.
Just says it? Says nope?
Tom's all wrong.
What's funny is the day after I posted that, they literally put the scanners back out at Space Mountain there again. So they're scanning barcodes literally the day after he posted them.
I don't think this one, this person hates Tom, but I just thought this one needed to be on the air because it was so random and ridiculous based on the story it was about. Remember you did a story about the fifth Walt Disney World theme park to be built before 2021?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Flamingo
yeah.
Crossings, right? Yeah, this person wrote in, with global warming, rising temperatures and droughts intensifying. No, I don't believe they're man-made, as the whole solar system is actually having global warming to some degree, including Mars. It would make sense to build smaller satellite parks instead of one more large fifth park. You didn't factor in global warming when you
Mars?
Wrote the story.
And Mars. Wait, what? Who left that comment?
Dizzyland with two Z's.
Because of global warming and Mars.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes, global warming and Mars.
In fairness, they also got the same answers Nick did. the math game questions.
Here we go. Name impossible theme revealed for new Vacation Club Resort.
Oh, you mean Cooper Creek.
Mike wrote in, how reliable is your source? To which Tom replied, as reliable as usual, smiley face emoticon.
That's really what I'm angry about. Just every article, and it's not even just us, it's any website in the community. Just there's always just smartasses who have to comment in some way.
Then Tom, on your Jungle Cruise article, which wrote, Jungle Cruise themed Skipper Canteen restaurant to undergo radical menu change. Scheme 2 wrote in, seriously horrible article. I don't believe what it says. People who truly know the inside info know this is untrue. Jungle Cruise Skipper Canteen has its problems to work out, but food quality and adventurous menu is not leaving. To which DD replied, how does this affect Rivers of Light?
Oh,
and those are the people who hate Tom this week.
Well, those are from last week, actually.
They're and cool. The lights dimmed.
Well, and one of them's from like ages ago, I think. I don't know. But she left the comment more recently, so she's worried about that fifth park.
Worried bad about global idea. Warming.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Jeff Jones has been with us for the entire
Thank
2 hours.
Thank you so much for sticking through this.
No problem. That's an hour and a half I'll never get back.
No, so. You won't. Hopefully we won't be saying that after we go see the animatronics.
No, because it's only 45 or 50.
I don't know. How good is your math?
I don't know. Are we talking annual pass holder pricing or...
Oh, boy.
Oh, Jeff, still looking forward to coming seeing your show.
Even though you insulted Nick for an hour and a half.
Even though, this is going to be fun.
Maybe you want to go see it more.
Definitely, I think we already have the info up at WDWNT.com.
Yeah, or find me on Facebook too at Jeff Jones Comedy, and you can see other little jokes I post about the show every day too.
Yeah, so. That is cool. You do these little memes with the different characters and stuff. And ooh, are those hints to who we might see in the show?
Mm-hmm. No, maybe mm-hmm. some, maybe. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You never know. Mm-hmm.
Because there are other characters that Jeff is not revealing to us tonight. So we're going to have to go next week and see. You could see the animatronicans at the Orlando Fringe Festival May 18th through May 29th. Various show times there, and you could find out more and get your tickets at OrlandoFringe.org. So, Jeff, we really do appreciate that, and maybe we'll have you on again if you'll agree to it. Maybe after the run of the show, so we could talk a little bit more.
Well, after you unlock the door and let me out, we'll talk.
went on in the show, but we definitely look forward to it, and we recommend all Disney fans listening to us tonight to check that out. So I guess Tom, no after show tonight.
No, we're gonna quit ahead tonight.
Next week, Parks Pursuit for some prizes from Theme Park Connection. We appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. Of course, you can go to WDWNT.com for more info and to keep up on what we're doing. Tom and I will be at Disney Springs all day on Sunday. If you want to come out and find us, stop by, say hi, eat
follow
some food.
Follow along on Twitter if
have
not.
Some drinks. Yeah, follow along. We'll be Instagram and tweet and all kinds of stuff. I'll be Instagram and okay. Maybe some Snapchat. Tom, I'm on Snapchat.
I've snapped you twice.
Oh.
And you still haven't responded.
I gotta figure out how that works. But I'm pretty sure it's uncool now once Nick gets a login.
Yeah, now,
there, so
now that there's old people on it.
Yeah.
All the STK people just got off of Snapchat.
Hashtag math game.
Yep, and with that, remember, kids, in the words of the polar bear from Maelstrom, roar!